The Meeting of Two Old Friends. The policeman on the beat moved up the avenue. The time was just 10 o'clock at night, but the chilly wind, with a taste of rain, had left the streets almost entirely free of inhabitants. Hardly a sound was emitted from this lonely avenue, and the policeman who walked up the avenue thought it was unlikely that he would run into any trouble, let alone have to remove his gun from the strap that held it to his waist, as the night was so quiet. Trying doors as he went, as was his usual routine, the officer made his way through the quiet neighborhood. At this time of night, the area was especially quiet. Now and then, if you did a loop of the area, you might see the lights of an emergency dental office or something of the sort. But the majority of the doors belonged to business places that had long since been closed. There were no bars with music booming into the streets. When about midway of a certain block, the policeman suddenly slowed his walk. An ordinary man might have needed a telescope to see what was visible to the officer from such a distance, but this officer was not an ordinary man. In getting his police certificate almost 2 decades ago, he was praised for his excellent eyesight. Just then he saw, in the doorway of a darkened hardware store, a man. As the policeman walked up to him, the man spoke up quickly. "It's all right, officer," the man said reassuringly. "I'm just waiting for a friend. It's an appointment made 20 years ago. Sounds funny, doesn't it? Well, I'll explain if you'd like to make certain it's all straight. About that long ago, there used to be a restaurant where this store stands. Big Joe Brady's restaurant."
"Until 5 years ago," said the policeman. "It was torn down then."
The man in the doorway struck a match and lit his cigar. He sucked on the end, and the cigar burned brightly. The light showed a pale face with sharp eyes. His trousers were black with thin white stripes. 20 years ago tonight," said the man, "I dined here at Big Joe Brady's with Jimmy Wells, my best friend. He and I were raised here in New York. We were poor mechanics, toying with turbine engines and installing generators, but that wasn't for me. The next morning I was to start for the West to make my fortune. You couldn't have dragged Jimmy out of New York. Not by any vehicle, no matter the horsepower. Well, we agreed that night to meet here again exactly 20 years from that date and time."
"You fared pretty well out west, didn't you?"
asked the policeman. "You bet. I hope Jimmy has done half as well. He wasn't the smartest man, though, good fellow as he was. I've had to compete with some of the sharpest wits going to get my pile. A man gets lazy in New York, he gets soft. The West, on the other hand, prescribes a harsh pill that makes a man strong of mind. I started working on a steamer, and by means legal and illegal, I managed to rise to the top." The policeman took a step or two.
"I'll be on my way. The station will deduct money from my pay if I stand around chatting all night. Good night, sir,"
said the policeman as he left. There was then a hard rain falling, and the wind had risen to a steady blow that laid siege to the city streets. And in the door of the hardware store, the man who had come 1,000 miles to fill an appointment smoked his cigar and waited. About 20 minutes he waited, and then a tall man in a long overcoat hurried across from the opposite side of the street. He went directly to the waiting man.
"Is that you, Bob?" he asked.
Bob, the man from the West, smiled and nodded. The two men greeted each other and then started up the street arm in arm. The man from the West, his feelings of self enlarged by success, was beginning to outline the history of his career, describing his output. The other, submerged in his overcoat, listened with interest. At the corner stood a grocery store, brilliant with electric lights. When they came into the light, each simultaneously turned to gaze upon the other's face.
Bob, the man from the West, then noticed something odd. His friend's face wasn't right. Not the same face he remembered from so long ago. And there was a small microphone on the man's shirt, under his jacket.
"You're not Jimmy Wells," he snapped. "Time doesn't change a man so much."
"It sometimes twists a good man into a bad one," said the tall man, drawing his weapon. "You've been under arrest for 10 minutes, you lousy, no-good rat. Going quietly, are you? That's smart. Now, before we go on to the station, here's a note I was asked to hand you. You may read it here at the window. It's from Officer Wells."
"Bob, I was at the appointed place on time. When you struck the match to light your cigar, I could see you clearly. You look very different, Bob, and I could hardly recognize you as my friend. I could, however, recognize you as a criminal wanted in Chicago. Somehow I couldn't arrest you myself, so I went around and got another officer to do the job. Jimmy."